here's a handful of mescaline and a tuba.
You're listening to The Job, a talk show about design, music, business, culture, and Portland, featuring interesting interviews with interesting people, brought to you by Need More Designs. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2013, specifically, and this is episode number 11. I'm Ray. My guest today on the show is Amy Ruppel, an amazing artist and illustrator here in Portland. But first, let's talk to our studio director, Candace Briglib. Hi, Candace.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I am superb. And yourself?
I am doing quite well. How does it feel to be 40 wonderful?
40 wonderful. It really does soften the blow when you append wonderful onto it.
It's like, doesn't it?
How can you complain about that?
If anyone could find a way,
yeah.
I have a feeling that you might.
Just check my Twitter account later. You'll see something. So we did go to TEDx this past weekend, the whole crew.
Yeah.
Had a blast. It was my 40 wonder first. And did you have a favorite speaker?
Oh, wow. That's difficult. I was really impressed with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Ben who? Huh? Oh, it's awful. I thought that he would give a talk that was funny, and instead he gave a really heartfelt talk about immigration as an immigrant, and he teared up in his talk. I think maybe he was like the first one of the day. So many speakers teared up during their talks, and
that's true.
So like there were so many people that were going out there and really just laying themselves bare, and that was amazing to see.
Yeah, that was cool.
And of course, it's just hard to say a favorite. I'm just thinking like there were so many.
There were a lot of
What was your favorite?
The caliber was very... I think my favorites were Kate, Bingham, right, and Bert. I just thought that was a great start. And I enjoyed the last speaker of the day, too. I'm spacing his name now. Dan Rather. I don't know. This is going to really chap his hide, too. I can't remember his name. Ted Koppel, I think it was. He was great.
It was Tom Brokaw.
I got the eyebrows raised there.
Somebody said that it was our generation's Walter Cronkite.
Like, okay, Grandpa.
But
I don't know who any of those people are. So.
But then I realized you didn't. Yeah, so it was that talk really
our
moved
generous,
you.
Does he know that I'm 41? I remember Walter Cronkite being on the air.
Well,
Walter Cronkite,
you're aging yourself here.
Was my Walter Cronkite? Who's the guy who was like, good night and good luck? That guy. Who was that? That was... Anyway, boy, I don't know.
Goodness. So after TED, we went to Masu.
Mm-hmm.
And I particularly enjoyed that experience. That was a night of some of the best sushi I have had in a while.
Nice website, too. MasuPDX.com.
Oh, my God.
Great website.
True. And great people.
Responsive.
And great drinks. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Responsive.
Uh-huh. Touch sensitive.
Oh, speaking of touch sensitive, so this week we are enduring a screen-free week with our daughter. I'm having a bit of an issue with it.
Why is that?
Well, I think I'm having an issue with it because I want to participate, but we are not supposed to use screens all week long, unless we need to, so that we can keep our mental forest growing.
Right.
And I'm all for growing the mental forest, But you and I have committed recently to buying most of our books on iPads order to keep the actual forest growing. Mm-hmm. And according to the rules laid out about this week, we are not to read any of those books to our daughter.
Yeah. Who laid out these rules?
I don't know. Well, so, you know, and some of them have been negotiated with a four-year-old, so I'm not actually sure that they're the actual rules of the week. But, it's interesting. It's interesting to think about technology, and I think that we use our screens often for imagination and education, and yet they're still seen as this sort of flat thing that you don't interact with. And so we have things like Screen Free Week where we want to...
I think those are outdated views. I think that those are views of when a screen represented a television, which represented, you know, commercial programming and really... Mm-hmm. You know, a lack of real education and stuff, but mm-hmm. and you know, a lack of activity on the kid's part. But you know, if it's something that your kid's dancing to and talking to you about, or if it is an iPad that has a book that you're reading to the child, mm-hmm. maybe I just don't show her the pictures this week. She's gonna hate that. That doesn't mean I have to be screen free, does it?
Around her. So that was the other thing, is something really cute happened this morning, and I wanted to Instagram it. You would have loved it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was in her classroom, dropping her off first day of Screen Free Week, and there was something I wanted to Instagram so bad it was killing me, and I couldn't do it. Like, am I going to be the parent that walks in? It's like, we started Screen Free Week 10 minutes ago, and I am now in the classroom Instagramming.
You should send her to school tomorrow with the iPad. Like, I want to show and tell. Mm-hmm. What else is new? We're looking for a new office.
I'm pretty excited about the new office search. Yeah.
I feel like we're all getting a little excited about that.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, the one thing that I love about our space is how open it is and how big the windows are.
Yeah.
And I find that, and the color that we painted the wall, the green, I find that to be a
really... I could do without the green.
Really?
It's kind of worn on me.
I've become a little bit of obsessed with green lately. Wearing green pants? I mean, it's...
That's green. That wall is like...
It's like 70s green.
It is. It's like an Eames rocking chair green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I want to take that with us. Not the wall, the color. Find something. If we could just bring that wall, we'd be fine.
It's got to be an easier way.
So the new space. I think that it would be good to not have all of our desks shoved right up against each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're outgrowing our space a mm-hmm. little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a tad.
We're a big boy agency.
Would you be excited about recording the podcast in a room?
In a room with... I don't know. I like the interaction of having being fact-checked by the rest of the studio.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Like, would you just keep the podcast in the middle of the studio, or would you move it
I think I'd like to just have a mic and just kind of walk the floor. Like, hey, how you guys doing today? Hey.
Do you know one thing?
Kind of man on the street, quick question.
I feel like, okay, so we were filling out this checklist about what we wanted in a space.
That's correct.
And I felt like it was very Portland because access to food carts was on the list that I had to rank along with,
right.
You know, can your pets come in the studio?
Wait, did we put that on the list or our broker did?
Our broker made a list of...
It said food carts, not like restaurants?
No, access to food carts. Okay. In specific.
Interesting. Like, okay, it is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I actually ended up ranking it higher than I probably would have had she just said, what is important to you about a space? I don't think I would have said food carts, but seeing it on that list, I thought, yeah, food carts are more important than, you know, bathrooms and showers.
Food carts are awesome.
Food carts are awesome, yeah.
Food carts are awesome.
Now I really do want a space that's close to food carts so we can enjoy them.
We're wrapping up our developer hiring this week, so mm-hmm. we need to get a couple days left on that.
I'm so excited that you talked to Amy, that you got her in here. Was it a giggle fest?
It was a little early in the day, and Amy, as you'll hear, is fighting off a cold, so she's not...
Amy has a really great laugh.
She does. We'll have Amy back.
Are you saying you didn't make her cry, did you? I mean,
it was terrible. I feel terrible about this interview.
She came in even though she was sick, though. Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
No, it was great. Amy's a dear friend.
With a great laugh.
You might even say that Amy Ruppel combines talent and versatility like no other artist in Portland, perhaps even the world. Her whimsical style and quirky point of view has given her the ability to combine the analog with the digital, the old with the new, the modern with the historic. I sat down with Amy to talk with her about her upbringing on a Midwest farm.
Sorry.
I really don't do the announcer well. I sat down with Amy to talk about her upbringing on a Midwest farm, her jet-setting wanderlust, and all of the years in between. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk to Amy Ruppel. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Ray.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm just suffering through some allergies.
Hay fever.
Hay fever. Mm. Whatever you want to call it.
Hay fever.
Hey.
It's the Ryan Gosling cold.
I wish.
How would you describe your... Would you call yourself an artist or a designer? Or how would you describe yourself to someone?
Whenever someone asks what I do, I say I'm an illustrator first.
Okay.
That's the first thing that pops out of my mouth anyway. Okay. And then I say, and then I also paint. I'm also an artist.
Okay.
So depends on the time of the year.
Right.
And what I'm doing at the time.
Depends on who's writing the check.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's start at the beginning. Where are you from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the woods.
Really? You grew up in
in the country.
Out in the country.
Yep.
Farm.
Between farms.
Okay.
Basically, we rented out land to farmers so they could use them as fields.
Oh, okay.
We didn't actually have a farm of our own.
Whoa.
We just had a lot of animals and cows next door. In our fields that we rented to other farmers, if that makes any sense. It was either cows. Or
$2
peas.
An hour.
Yeah, peas or cows. We're always in that field.
How long did you live there?
Till I was 13.
Okay.
And then moved into town. And fast forward to college in Milwaukee at UWM. And very good art school. I'm really happy I went where I went. And my focus was actually printmaking, which you don't see me doing much of. But I did just buy a little pin press to see what I could do with that. But, you know, because I can't stop making things.
Indeed.
But, went to school there for way too long, and then moved to Madison, and then here, Portland.
And so why Madison? Just the nearest cool place?
Just a job, and followed a boyfriend there. And then
so what, followed were you doing? What was your job there? What were you doing in Madison?
I was working for a little magazine.
Okay.
And then doing some work for The Onion. Back when it was just a little paper.
Oh, yeah.
Back when it was fun.
Back when you had to
just
actually
kidding,
find...
Just kidding, Onion. It's still fun.
Yeah, it's still fun, but it's a different...
It's a little more... I don't know. I liked it back then. It was goofier.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It was a little more silly. Now it's very political based, and
it was like it was like this the because I grew up in Minnesota, and it was always like the cool college paper that came from Wisconsin. And what was it? It was like kind of common. It was hard to find. And,
it was that and the Shepherd Express out of Milwaukee. That was always cool too.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That was back when they would do funny things like Death Star to open new daycare center, things like that. That had nothing to do with anything. Office Ninja, you know.
They do, you know, the first book that they put out I really liked because it was, it was like a parody of the last 100 years of sort of, do you know that one? It was like Our Dumb Century.
Yeah.
I think it was their first book. And that was like all original. It wasn't just like regurgitated stuff from the actual, you know, publication.
Yeah.
So from there you moved to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And how long ago was this?
18 years now.
Yeah. And what did you do when you moved to Portland? What were you doing?
Well, I moved here when the big flood was going on in 96. So you can all correct my math now right there. It's 17 or 18 years. But
the big Midwest flood.
The big flood is like January 96. Moved here and I had no work. And neither did my boyfriend at the time. And I heard on TV, they're like, anyone with a 4x4, come on down and help us sandbag. So I had my old trusty Isuzu Trooper and went and sandbagged. That's what I did the first few weeks I lived here and thought, where the heck did I move?
Oh, wow.
You know? But, I really knew nothing of this town except I looked in the paper before I moved out for graphic design jobs, and there were a ton. And then I got here, and there weren't any.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what happened there.
Harsh.
But I ended up getting a job eventually at US West Dex and the Yellow Pages.
Okay.
Where I worked for many years.
Back when it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back when people still read the Yellow Pages.
Oh, yeah.
Kids, ask your parents.
I still got ads in there.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah, there was a pest control, full page pest control ad that I'm really proud of.
What, it's still running, you mean?
Yep, still running.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They really liked the bugs I do, I think. And the truck. Anyway, that's
crazy.
A good start.
You should point those out. I would love to see those.
Yeah, it's funny because at this point, I don't usually expect to send out like a portfolio of work, but someone recently asked for it, and I thought I should just send them a whole bunch of Yellow Pages ads.
Yeah. Someone just recently scanned me in some drawing I made for them, like, you know, just after high school. And I was like, is that even my writing? Like, I could kind of tell it was, but it just looked alien, completely alien.
Well, you've grown.
Yeah. If arguably gotten even worse at drawing, but
Wow.
So from there, what happened between like you gave me your allergies? What happened between between Dex and you being a independent artist?
A lot. I left the job. My boss at the time, my manager, actually, she was like, you should be doing your own thing. And so she helped push me out of the nest, too, and finally did it. And it was a little scary, as it always is. And I started desperate to pay my rent.
Right.
I was like, what do I do? And I joined Aquint Services.
Okay.
Back at the time. It was the temp service for creatives. And they had an offer where they would send you away to Boston for 2 weeks and do this crunch course on learning HTML, like coding. And in return, you just have to work for them for 6 months. And I'm like, I need a job anyway, so that's kind of a no-brainer. So I did that and learned HTML, came back, and got a job with 1-800.com. That it no longer exists. All these places that I worked are failed. Just saying. But it wasn't my
you
fault.
You got out at the right time then.
Yeah. And but then I left there. I just didn't like doing the temp work and started doing my own thing. And with the HTML knowledge, I started making those online sales of little paintings. And those kind of took off pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And those were my bread and butter for 10 years or more. So they're still kind of going. I don't do them that often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kind of died off, and that's fine. I just, you know, the birds flew
away.
You parlayed
that 2 weeks of training into like the touchstone of your career. Really,
I did. I guess. Yeah.
That's funny.
I took that. I had that HTML training, and then I also took an encaustic painting class at PNCA with Jeff Gunn, and then I was hooked. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do I combine my digital work with the hands-on wax, and it ended up being those birds. So
how did you? What was that? How did you combine digital with wax?
Well, if you know the paintings we're talking about.
I do, but I mean for the benefit of our listeners.
I'm looking at one right now on the wall here in the office, which is really nice.
Yeah, it is. We
and,
love it.
It's nice of them, not the painting. But that's nice, too. Anyway, I actually had to do an illustration for Willamette Week, mm-hmm. and I thought, wow, I could combine, you know, I wanted to do a computer, but also hand-drawn, and this just happened, and where I designed the birds and such on the computer, the stripes are all from photographs, and I just cut out the shapes and layered it in wax, and then you draw into the wax, and so it's got a hand-drawn quality and the computer edge, so it's clean and playful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes people happy, so that's all that matters.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. Ray is smiling.
Just hearing you say that it's just that all that matters is to make people happy. This interview is not about me, but I was watching The Daily Show the other night, and like John Oliver was interviewing like Harry Reid's assistant or something like that, and he was like, "So what is the purpose of a politician?" The guy's like, "Well, to get reelected." Like, "You sure about that?" He's like, "And to, you know, change the world for the better." It's like, so that's like second.
In that order.
Yeah. And the guy's like, "Well, if I could rewind the tape, I would probably say the other one first."
Yeah, just play it in reverse.
Oh, dear. Yeah. But it's good that you answered the nice thing first, you know.
Well, that
maybe
really is
number two
the
is
goal.
To make money off of the art, I guess.
Yeah.
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 If, make a
if
living.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If, you know.
If they decide to pay you.
If all else fails, you just get a bunch of sand and some bags and...
Right.
Be useful. Wait for the flood.
Yeah, be useful some other way. Yeah.
Okay, so I noticed that you do a lot of different styles of work since like mm-hmm. that style sitting in our Needmore studio on the opposite wall is a very different style of art, and our restroom is filled with decals that you did for that you're selling online through someone.
Blick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blick wall graphics.
And
awesome.
I mean, the list goes on and on. Every other month brings an entirely new form of art from you. Like, how do you... most artists tend to find a single format that they're comfortable with, but you are constantly trying out new things.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, depending on where something's going to end up, depends on whatever medium I choose. So, like, these birds, these angry bird paintings, which he has, the ostrich...
Yes.
That says jerkwad.
Yes. It says jerkwad, and he does look like a jerkwad.
Yeah. These are all birds that attack people, paying homage and expletive. But whatever mood I want to capture, like with those, that was like, I just really wanted to capture detail and have the softness and darkness. And then obviously the computer stuff. Well, like, if it's going to end up online, like on a web-based platform mm-hmm. or a poster, I'm going to draw it all in Illustrator, vector-based, and mm-hmm. can be resized easily and things like that. It really depends on where it's going to end up. And
what was the inspiration for doing the angry or the mean birds?
Actually, I had painted this big painting of a Canada goose, and I called my friend Eric and said, I was telling him about it, and he goes, Canada geese are assholes. Are you going to bleep that out?
Like, no. Yeah, I was going to tell you, you can swear on here.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. I should write that on the bottom. So I really owe it to him for that idea. So now it's on.
That's just
not,
like,
it's not on tape. It's on digital.
It's out there.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's on true. Bit.
It's on bit. And okay, so speaking of that, I've noticed that one thread that all of your that carries through all of your art seems to be like the natural world, animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that?
I hate painting and drawing people.
Fair enough.
For one. animals are great. I don't know. They have this innocence about them. Birds are never still. Mm-hmm. So if you just throw them into anything, they are, like, give a piece instant movement. Mm. So it's kind of a no-brainer there if you want to have that kind of anticipation in it. But, yeah, I don't know. And I'm, you know, I try to do groups of paintings that work together. Lately, I've been doing a lot of sea animals, sea mammals, floating in the air above, like, land, like whales above land, and then land animals above water. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to find some reason why I'm doing that. It just looks nice. Well. And I really like to paint landscapes.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's, I'm all over the place. And I like that. I like that every day is different. I don't know what I'm going to do for the day and say, well, today I'm going to paint, or today I'm going to play music, or...
Well, it definitely seems like you're attracted to, like, you know, science and stuff. You're kind of a kind of a geek, if I could say that. You go to the science pub.
Yeah, I love science pub.
Anything else we should know about?
I'm really, like, kind of uber excited about going to the Explorers Club in New York in a couple weeks.
What's that?
The Explorers Club.
You look at me like I should know this.
It's really cool. Well, it's been around a little while.
I will add the link if you tell me what it is.
TheExplorersClub.com.
Okay.
I think that's really what it is.
Got it.
It's an old institution that really funds a lot of expeditions and such, and has for a very long time. And they have, like, a trophy room. They have a wall of all the explorers. And I'm really interested in the Arctic explorers and such.
Like, you get to, like, hunt and kill your own iceberg or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And but Buzz Aldrin is going to be speaking and promoting his latest book about putting a man on Mars. So, and it's this intimate setting. And I'm like, why would you not go to that?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. So,
Are you going just for fun?
I mean, yep. And I want to see, I just want to step foot inside that building and for the history and for the information. And I've been writing a lot about explorers, poetry-wise. Uh-huh. So, and I love doing research. I really love it. So, even, like, for paintings, for writing, for anything. So, I like to learn while I'm doing something. Otherwise, it seems pointless.
Absolutely.
Or to educate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done some work for a children's hospital. Is that open now?
Yes.
Where is that?
Seattle Children's Hospital.
Okay.
Added a whole new wing. It's called Building Hope. And it's more for the cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And they also have a high population of teen patients there.
Okay.
But it's a LEED certified building, which is, I think it's, I don't know if it's the first in the U.S. or the world, but it is something to behold. It's beautiful. There's lots of natural light. The colors are, it's very open. It's very, the way they have it set up in the rooms, because if you look at some hospitals now, they have, like, these small children in these beds, and they're surrounded by these machines, and it, like, they're encompassed by them, and it's scary. And now they have it set up they have a system where it's all hanging like from the ceiling or from poles, and it's not as intrusive and frightening, and it's lots of like wood and soft colors, and it's more calm, and you hate to say that it's nice, and you know, and you want to go see it because you don't, it's like the last place you want to be, but for the ones that are there, it's rewarding work to give them something nice to look at all day, you know, or have to be around. If they got to be there, then make it good for them, you know. So
was it something that was like constructed and then you came in and did the artwork?
Well, I had the plans. I also worked with architects, ZGF architects, who are pretty amazing. And they had it all figured out, of course, before ahead of time it was designed. Yeah. But they had all the windows that they knew where they wanted artwork and such. And so I had it all. It was all vector work because it was being cut out of white vinyl and applied to glass, so which I didn't have to do any of. I just sent it to the vendors and they did all the hard work of applying, cutting and applying, and but they did an awesome job. They did
nice.
It looks really good. And yeah, and Lab Partners are a couple of illustrators from San Francisco who did all the elevator bay areas and all the color, and it was all forest themed, the whole wing, so it looked really nice. A lot of leaves and trees, and then out the window is just like a forest that the kids look at, so it's really something. Good atmosphere for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like you get a lot of kind of interesting higher profile gigs you have over the years, where I'm sure that every listener of the show has seen your work somewhere, just possibly without even realizing it. How do you find those kind of?
They find me somehow. I really don't know. I think just from doing those online sales, with those paintings, those bird paintings for years, and then people coming to the website and then seeing other things that I've done or off a blog or whatever. Thanks, Facebook, for helping us post art and stuff. But yeah, I actually have been lucky enough to not have to go out and look for work.
So people seeing the stuff you've done, you don't actively solicit work or anything like
that?
Yeah,
I don't. So that I just, nice. Things just, I don't know what, you know. Like I'll freak out because I have no projects, and at the time or something, and I'm like, oh gosh, I need something, and then all of a sudden phone call or email happens and I'm like, oh good,
yeah
so when that stops happening, then I'll I'll go get a factory job or something, because I actually liked working in factories during college. That I'm actually probably one of the few people who really liked factory work.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, I was still making something, so
yeah,
it was all right.
You have a lot of interests besides artwork. I know you've done a lot of recording of music over the last few years. How did you start doing that?
A lot of friends who are musicians, and something I always had wanted to do and never really did it, and just kind of doing it on my own for fun, not for anything else really. Just to get it out of my system, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
And have you?
No.
Still in there?
Still working on it.
Yeah.
And Ray needs to do this too, by the way. This guy's a good musician and he needs to be playing again. So I'm going to drag him into my music room and see what happens. That's now you have to do it. It's on air.
Yeah, now. I think you're doing
it. We can finish off this podcast with a little song we made.
it's a nice studio. It's cool in the summer.
Yes,
that's a good selling point.
Live there in the summer.
You moved out of the studio you were working in, and you've been building one in your garage. Is that right?
The wood shop's in the garage.
The wood shop.
And I'm in my extra bedroom right now, but I'm going to build a studio in the backyard. So. Okay. I was supposed to do it earlier in the spring, but the weather was really bad and ended up doing the kitchen instead. you know how that goes. But got to work on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad came out and needed something to do, so.
Nice.
It looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
No.
I'll have to check that out.
Got
to
come over.
Another thing that you have been doing lately is learning, I guess you'd say, to write poetry.
Well, I actually have a degree in poetry.
Okay.
From college in creative writing.
Okay.
And
you did not mention that earlier, but that's okay.
I did not. It's on my Facebook page. Don't you do research? Just kidding.
I'm terrible at that. No. You're the one who likes research. I should have had you do the research.
Yeah. No, I have a degree in that and then printmaking, lithography. Okay. And actually, I do neither of, which is hilarious. But yeah, I was missing it. And I started writing back and forth with Michael D'Alessandro here in town, who's the editor of Bedouin Books.
Okay.
And he and I would pick a topic on Monday, always a place, and then send each other a poem by Friday just to keep each other writing. Mm-hmm. We have completely different styles. We never talked about each other's work. We just did it, you mm-hmm. know, and just to do it. And I had a whole group of them piled up, and I had always loved Billy Collins, and one day I looked up to see if he was doing any workshops, and then I found the one at Key West Literary Seminar that he does every year, and I applied, and I got in, and I was like, wow, well, now I gotta do this. Uh-huh. I gotta put my money where my mouth is, or pen is, and I went down there and had the best time, met these amazing writers, really fun, and I love it. It's a good community, and it's another outlet for me, another creative outlet. And I just don't want to be stuck in one place. I just like to try everything. So.
Yeah.
What's next?
That was my next question. Maybe you could speak to that.
Well, I was just helping a friend silkscreen some like displays that he's making for a friend for in stores. And I forgot how much I liked it. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to print again. And then I bought that pin press, which mm-hmm. is this like handheld portable printing press, basically with rollers. It's bizarre. I ordered it, so when it shows up, I'll be so excited to try it out. Just for mono prints, mm-hmm. you know, usually your etchings. And so I'm finding myself kind of going back to the printmaking. So I'm reverting to college. I'm seeing poetry and printmaking. There's no middle age crisis here at all. Next thing you know, I'll be in a little sports car. Not. But, yeah, that's, who knows? I like not knowing what I'm going to do, and I'll just figure it out. It's fun.
Let's take a 2-minute break while I get some more cider.
Okay.
I can edit that out, I'm sure.
Can you?
I can. Oh, you're getting this.
Oh, thanks. Oh, thank you. Hey, that's right. And I haven't been sneezing or coughing or anything. You have the AC on, don't you?
I don't,
or
no.
Really?
There's something. Oh, it's a refrigerator.
This is a pollen-free environment.
It's maybe the pollen hasn't gotten in here yet. That could be. I do have a window open, but...
No.
No. I'm coughing. You've jinxed it.
I'm getting it out of my system while we're in a lull. I'm going to Gigantic after this to sit in the sun and drink beer.
Good for you. There's never been a better day for it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love my neighbors. My God. I just went to Ann Hubach's house. She just lives up the street from me. It's also from the same county that I'm from in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
She has, like, the best wine in Oregon right now, like, hands down. She won, like, best new winemaker Oregon last year, and now she just won something else for Oregon.
She lives up the street from you?
She lives a block up the street.
Huh.
And she is... I met her for breakfast this morning, and...
How's she making wine over there? I don't get it.
Not there. Okay. She's part of that Southeast Wine Collective on Division.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's a bunch of winemakers that have, they make their wine right there on Division.
Okay.
In there. Of course, their grapes aren't there. They just harvest the grapes, and then they come in these big trucks, and they do it all there. On Division Street.
Like, where on Division?
30, no, where is it? Down somewhere.
Huh.
Above 26.
Okay. I've never heard of that. Excuse me. That's interesting.
Now I have a... I'm watching the crow. He looks funny. He's got a bad leg. Oh. Are we back on?
Yeah. Oh, no, we're... Yeah, I'm not editing this, really.
No need.
I usually do cut out the... parts. Not much. Gigantic. So what in food and drink in Portland is really interesting right now? What has been your... What are you hooked on?
Well, I'm hooked on breweries. I like going to breweries. I love going to Cheese Bar.
Yes.
With Present Company.
Yeah.
And Ava Jeans. Boy, that's good. That's some good food.
I still haven't been there.
Oh,
went in there, so but good. Couldn't get a table. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And there's like 10 million new places that I haven't even heard of that have opened and I haven't been to.
Have you gone to Trigger yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Trigger's great.
Yeah, that was nice.
And
Where is Gigantic a brewery?
Uh-huh.
Is that the one that's by the Ford building?
It's on 26th and Steele. So it's in my hood.
Okay.
And it's right across from the cryogenics place, which we always laugh about. Yeah, no one's like, the what? There's a cryogenics place across the street. I think it is. Don't quote me on that. It used to be, or it still is. But we always joke about how when those people do come back, they can go across the street and have a nice cold one. So, what a reward that is.
Like, so you, they might actually have frozen people in there?
I
not sure?
You know what? I'm going to find out when I go over there today.
Yeah, let's just go knock.
But I'm pretty sure that's
knock on
what
the door.
It is.
Hey, look, I was thinking about getting
it's
frozen.
It's probably just cold storage.
Can you help me? Do I need to know someone? Or?
Yeah. Come in this way. You never leave if you go in there. But, yeah, it's a great brewery. They always have artists. Different artists do all their labels, too, which is nice. And they actually have a curator for their labels. And they have really damn fine beer. It's good. I love beer. I like craft beers very much. I was very excited. I was just in Missouri for a poetry workshop at River Pretty, which was wonderful. And, man, I had some good beer.
You're saying that's the town of River Pretty?
Dot. The town is Dot, D-A-W-T.
Dot.
Dot, Missouri. And it's right on the edge of the Ozarks.
Is that with the district?
I think they just call that. That's what they call the retreat because it's along the river and it's pretty.
Oh, okay. No, I like that.
And it really is beautiful down there. And I had a great time despite the tornadoes and storm the first day.
Tornadoes are fun.
Oh, they're a blast.
I miss tornadoes.
I do, too. Like I miss weather. I miss storms.
Yeah, no kidding. Weather, period.
Yeah.
Anything
besides
interesting.
Rain, sun.
I miss natural disasters. We
yeah.
don't get enough.
Yeah. Now we're going to get earthquake. Thanks, Ray.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, boy. Here we go. We're going to have this.
I don't think earthquakes are real.
That's made up. Yeah.
Anyway. It's a conspiracy.
They're caused by chemtrails.
They're caused by fracking. Have you read about those earthquake swarms that happen after that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes sense.
It kind of does.
Left a pocket here for you. What do you want to do, Earth?
Yeah, we just like sucked out all your resources and then injected a bunch back in.
Mm-hmm.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Next stop, North Dakota.
Yeah. Let's interview Matt Damon on that. You should get him on here. He'll have a lot to say about it. Shut up.
I know. I don't feel like I... Yeah. You know, him, he can talk. And I just don't feel like I have time to listen to that guy. So,
darn, he was who I was going to say should be on the next podcast.
Maybe next
I
got to
think of someone else now.
yeah. Can,
but.
Yeah, we're going to the TEDx thing tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
And Tom Brokaw is going to be there.
No way. I know. Is he really?
Yeah.
His voice is going to lull you to sleep.
In a good way. Everyone else's voice will, too. Yeah. It'll just be me. Crashed out on a couch in the hall. While yeah.
I had no idea. Well, I'm out of the loop sometimes.
I don't know, man. I'm on like one loop for every like 20 you're in on.
Yeah.
Half of the time our conversation is like, have you heard of this? No. Have you heard of this? Have you been here? No.
No.
Have you? I got kids. I don't.
Yeah. This is why we have friends.
Yeah, exactly.
To let us know.
You're my social networking.
Yeah. It's to let each other know about everything we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty fantastic. Like, I missed what? Who is here? Happens way too often.
It does. It.
There's too much going on in this town. That's what it is. You have like 11 million... I don't know why I brought that number, but...
No, there is.
A gazillion options every night.
It definitely seems like it's a lot more...
And it's overwhelming.
...interesting than when I moved here in the 90s. This is just like...
I was just discussing this morning about how things have grown here so exponentially and so quickly. And something to say for all the people moving in from elsewhere to Portland. So...
what do we say to them?
Thanks. No, I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you know, any cool little place that opened up or this or that, it's usually someone from elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of good local people that have done things.
Well, I mean, but, I think maybe it's partly.
You know what I mean?
It's like the confluence of stuff has probably triggered a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly. Created the feeling.
No, not to. I mean, who's from Portland, really? I
know a couple.
I know so few people who are actually from Portland. And, you know, I might have found people too, but.
Most of them that I know are musicians.
Yeah. That are
really
from,
great ones too.
Hmm.
That's another thing. All the musicians here are so good and they struggle so much. Every musician, anyway. But. That's why I always pay for my albums.
Yeah, it's tough to be a musician out here because all the other markets are so far away.
Yeah.
Like, touring is terrible. And when Hutch was on here a few weeks back, we were talking mm-hmm. about that. It's like on the East Coast, you're lucky. I mean, it's like there's...
In Europe, you're lucky.
Yeah.
They pay for you to come over. They pay for everything.
But it's like out on the West Coast, especially in the Northwest, it's like... Yeah. Okay, our next stop is Seattle, and then, I don't know where, Minneapolis.
Boise.
Yeah.
Missoula.
Yeah.
But yeah.
not like in the, you know, Northeast where you can, you know, drive a half hour to your next gig. And
oh, then, yeah. I know, the gigs, if you do a West Coast tour, it's like Seattle. Portland, Arcata. For some reason, Arcata gets put in there a lot.
Eugene, where's Arcata?
Eugene before Arcata, Northern California.
Mm.
And then San Francisco. And then you got your LA and all that. San Diego's. Anyway, yeah.
Arcata just because they need to stop somewhere.
Yeah, basically, sleep. Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll just...
And it's a cool little town. And you can get your weed there.
Yeah, get your weed.
Humboldt County. So,
I'm pretty sure you can get your weed here too.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Now what?
That's great. Thank you so much for coming down and chatting with me today, Amy.
Yeah, you bet. This is fun. I see Ray a lot, and this is really fun. We would normally be laughing a lot more.
Yeah.
And giggling a lot more.
Yeah.
After a few drinks.
Right.
And
maybe we'll pick up the start recording again in a half hour. We'll
yeah,
see.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Bye. All right. Bye. Dan Manchester, everybody. How you doing this week?
Doing just fine, thank you. I'm doing really well. We went to TED on Saturday, which was awesome, and it was gorgeous all weekend, which was also awesome.
Yep.
The weather's been pretty spectacular lately, which I
can't complain.
Cannot complain. I can stutter, though, and make noises.
I'm kind of freaking out because I just realized I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And you're old now, so something bad is going to happen? Is that?
No, it's an annual checkup. Okay. It's no big deal. No big deal. Nothing. I'm not going into it worried. It's just that it's an annual checkup, so I'm supposed to fast.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, the earliest they could get me in was 1 p.m. You have to fast for 12 hours. I'm going to be a little bitch tomorrow morning in the studio. I just have a feeling I'm going to be grumpy. Like, I don't know. Can I even have coffee? I don't even think I can have coffee. I'm just going to drink lots of water.
I don't think you can even have water.
Can't even have water? Can we get a confirmation on this? Does anyone know? I don't have to call them.
Are they doing, like, a sugar test and stuff? Is that why you're fasting?
Are you... No, I think just a blood test. I think they want me to fast for blood tests, like, get my insulin levels. Okay. Is that a sugar test?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Okay. I don't... I'm not sure.
Well, I don't
know.
But
you're going to be up right at 12:59, just standing in front of your refrigerator, eating, aren't you?
Just eating one of those, like, cartoonishly large sandwiches that you... like a pickle on the side. That's me.
That's Cookie me. Monster noises. Floppy arms. Fantastic Mr. Fox. That is the best thing about that movie. They're very civilized, the dialogue's good, and then every time they eat, it's just like...
Right. Just no reason. They just devour.
I've had to watch it a lot in the last couple months with my daughter, and that part never ceases to make me giggle.
And when they dig tunnels, they do that too. Yeah. Digging and eating.
She's like, all right, animals.
Did you have a favorite talk at TEDx, personally?
Tom Brokaw was pretty moving, and you know, he was Tom Brokaw. It was hard to surpass Tom Brokaw, but I think Kay Bingham and Bert started the day off really well. Her talk was really amazing. It was really pretty amazing.
I think it shows a good first and last talk, you know.
Yeah. Ben Huh from the Cheeseburger Network.
Right.
Big WordPress multi-site install there. His talk about immigration was really surprising and honest and really wonderful. Like, had nothing to do with memes or kitties.
Not what we were expecting.
I think those were really the ones. And the woman whose name is, I'm blanking on her now, but who is a cartographer of some bend. She makes maps. I thought hers was really interesting as well. I'm going to find her name so I don't just refer to her as the woman who makes maps. Because that's awful.
Yeah.
You? What were your...
No, I would agree. I thought the day was bookmarked really well with the Tom Brokaw and Kate Bingham and Bert. Those were like my two favorite talks. I thought some of them were... There was like... At some point I was just like, you know... If it's not a tearjerker, it doesn't belong here. It just seemed like half the talks, it was like, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in the audience.
Right.
That was not my experience in the last couple of TEDx Portland events, so that was nice. Music-wise, I'm sure all of our listeners know that our theme music is Budos Band, and you got me that Budos Band record, which is very exciting. The second one, two.
Right. Which animal is on the cover of the scorpion?
The scorpion. Yeah. Scorpion. I like how that they name their albums numerically, Roman numerals. as Led Zeppelin and God intended. Just, you know, it's like if a band starts out like that, you can never drop that. You know, when Zeppelin dropped that, they started going downhill.
You think so?
I certainly do.
Four was the low point, or was
the, no, the high point. Well, I mean,
but four was not four is such numbered.
It just had
the runes. It didn't even have their name on the album.
But there were four runes. I felt like implicitly that was still numerical
runes.
It's like the, now, you know, people say the new iPad because they've stopped numbering them. Mm-hmm. But everyone knows which one it is. Everyone knows this iPad 4. If they started calling it, you know, if they came out with something that, for instance, was called the iPad Mini, maybe that would be a sign that things were going downhill. Mm. Oh, wait, they have.
They have.
Shit. But other than that, I listened to the album Beach Boys today like 3 times a day. It's kind of crazy. I hear it in my dreams.
On purpose?
It's like I've started in this groove and now like all of the children in my family know it, and if I play it they're all happy and placated. So
that's great.
It is, but like there's a certain amount of album fatigue associated with it. Sure. But I love it. And you know it, and I was thinking about when I was talking to Hutch the other week, like how he was talking about the front side, back side. Mm-hmm. That one is very much in that
vein. Is that the back side was darker? Is that
Yeah, like emotional, mellow, not rock songs. And the label, of course, hated it. It was like, you need to do more of those A-side rock songs. You know, the B-side is just like all like, you know, teenage. It basically sounds like Pet Sounds.
Okay.
That's a great album, though. So I'm not yet tired of just hearing it.
What were the singles off of that? Or
Help Me, Rhonda.
Oh, okay.
Do You Want to Dance?
Oh, that's... I didn't realize that was that album. That gets played in here quite a bit.
It does. Yeah. The same album with the brown cover. And one other one. Dance, Dance is on that.
They were big dancers that year, it would seem.
They were. Let's see. Is there any music you'd like to tell us about?
I have been listening the past week or so quite a lot to Tegan and Sarah's new album.
Okay.
Which is called Heartthrob. It came out in January, but I haven't really listened to it much. And it's their intent. I don't know if you know much about Tegan and Sarah. They're Canadian. They're twins, Tegan and Sarah Quinn. Indie rock kind of, you know. This album, they decided they've been popular for a while. They're in Canada, especially wildly popular. They decided they wanted to become pop stars, strictly because, you know, like most people, their relationship with mainstream culture is a little conflicted. Mm-hmm. But they were getting more and more famous, so they're like, all right, let's just become pop stars, become wildly famous, and then we'll like bring our same sensibilities and point of view and start like rewriting things from that point. From there, we can affect these young kids, like, you know, and help things. Like, that was like literally their goal. And so they were like writing songs as though they were the Matrix writing for the band the Matrix, or like Linda Perry or something, like one of those like pop hit makers in LA or wherever, like writing for pop stars, or they were 16 and writing songs for themselves as 16-year-olds. So they're very synth heavy, really poppy, not a metaphor in sight anywhere on the album, on the lyrics. Like, some of the lyrics are literally like, how come you don't want me now? And I'm all messed up, sick inside. Like, it's just, it's really straightforward, really simple, but it works. It's good in the headphones while I'm working. Like, kind of, I can dip in and out, and it's not, I don't know if that says much positive or something, but it's good. It picks up the spirit. Lifts you up.
Okay.
Get you moving.
I'll check that out.
And it kind of worked. They debuted at like number 3 on Billboard and number 1 in Canada and the UK. And it seems to be working. Their goal.
Interesting. I'm drinking. I'm just gonna put this out there. Drinking Portland roasting coffee.
And
I said it.
Are you happy about this?
It's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
It is carbon neutral. I don't know what that means. They don't add or remove carbon.
Or they just don't feel strongly about it.
I think that the carbon all goes into the coffee and not into the atmosphere.
That's what they're actually, that's what's in the bag.
Shoot, I forgot to get the one with the coal. Coffee. Yeah, we get the, so Organics to You doesn't, they're a great service, but they don't deliver Stumptown or anyone else good. But, you know, I was thinking about that when I was drinking it today, and I was thinking when Stumptown first opened, I remember talking to Dwayne and him saying, well, what's the last good coffee you had? You know, and I was like, oh, Stumptown, you know, the stuff you're making. He was like, no, besides here. And I was like, well, I haven't really been getting coffee anywhere else. And he was like, no, you gotta go out and get other coffee, no matter what you think of it, like, you know. And I was thinking, that's so true. It's like, I look at other websites.
Mm-hmm.
I should try other coffee. Just, you know, I should actively go out and try other kinds of coffee and look at other websites that other agencies are doing, because, you know, you learn from it. I learned from this that, you know, I don't care much for how they're sourcing it, and they roast it too dark, and I think they're ashamed of what they're putting out there, so they defend it with prominently putting awards. You know, it's like...
You think they're ashamed of what they're putting out
there? I do. If you got to put an award on your bag, you're doing something wrong. It's like websites when you go there and they have a badge. It's like, we won this award. It's like...
That banner on the CSS site of the week.
Whatever. It's like, don't do that. Don't do that. That's just like... I don't know. That's beneath you.
There's a lot of better coffee floating around.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Be bringing in here.
Yes, for sure. So I'll have to go get some.
Like, your favorite musicians, they're always huge music fans.
Yeah.
And they're really passionate about, like, what other people are doing.
Yeah.
They're not just.
And they're, yeah, they're out there.
Themselves.
I remember. Have you heard that band Clap Your Hands Say Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they kind of came out, they kind of blew up. It was like they sounded, but I always thought, my God, the singer sounds just like David Byrne.
Sure.
And then I was reading somewhere, like I Googled them or something. I was like, you know, I wanted to see if other people thought that too. And then I found this photo of David Byrne at one of their shows, like in Central Park. It was like, oh, look, David Byrne is checking him out. And I was like, that guy still like goes out to the park to catch like bands that might be cool, you know? Like, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, respect David Byrne, you know, getting out there. Like, he really seems like a guy who cares about what, you know, is coming around the corner, you know? And
yeah, like the last 10 years or so, like just about everything he's done has been a collaboration with someone younger.
Yeah.
It seems like a younger musician.
And then, like, he'll randomly put out, like, books. But, right. Like, they'll be, like, really well done, like, you know.
The woman that I mentioned before, whose name I couldn't... Diane Eisner.
Yes.
Is her name. She works for Waze.
Oh, W-A-Z. Right. Yeah.
She's
the
cartographer, whose name I could not think of. Wanted to throw that in there.
Didn't Apple use some of Waze's technology for Apple Maps?
I do not know.
I thought that they did, but then there was some controversy because, like, the CEO of Waze, like, kind of dissed Apple Maps. I know, not cool.
Mm.
You don't want to diss Apple in public.
Is there anyone if you're working with them?
Yeah.
Those were the 7 people on the planet who didn't say anything bad about Apple Maps in that first month.
I got to say, I love Apple Maps. I do not think that the flack they've gotten is fair, but maybe... They've improved since, you know, like at first I didn't really pay attention. I was just like, well, it's just the map thing. But lately it's like, we were looking at office buildings downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And the new Apple Maps, if you switch on the like hybrid view, you can see like every side of a building. You can go downtown and like look at the building that you're looking at from all different angles and be like, is the 8th floor, is that high enough to get a view of the West Hills? And you can actually check from Apple Maps. You could zoom down and look at it at the right angle, and you can tell the view you're going to get. Like,
that's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's rather amazing.
Maybe I'm missing something, but they've definitely improved it. And a lot of the stuff that I think people were making fun of was how certain bridges would appear to be sliding. And I can see why that happened, and I think they have improved that. They've probably tweaked their algorithm so it mm-hmm. doesn't show bridges sliding down invisible hills on thin air. I know that the Powell Bridge, whatever that in Portland, had that, where you'd be driving down and
the Ross Island Bridge.
Yeah, yeah, it would look like you were just sliding off of into the river.
Could well be the case. Now it's under construction.
Needs a little retrofitting.
Rebuilding it.
It's a warning from Apple. Should heed
they knew.
That.
They knew.
I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, it's just what the seismologists put into the mapping software. I don't, you know, take it with a grain of salt. And you know, to share a bit of nerd news, Google Now has been added to the iOS app. You seen that yet?
You mean the Google app, the Google Maps app?
No, the Google, plain old Google app. Like it's like it pulls up cards. Like if you start looking for stuff in Portland, it pulls up a card with the weather and a card with where you're going and a card with the traffic. And like there's like a couple dozen. Like it serves them up as like really well designed cards with a really light variant of Helvetica. That's really nice.
No,
like Helvetica Neue Light or Ultra Light. I mean, you can see it if you look on Google right now and you look up a business. A lot of times, the first listing is
sure.
It's that same design.
Okay.
But it looks really nice. You get rid of them by flicking them and they do a little rotation.
Wow.
So, I don't know. Do you think, as is the popular meme now, that Google is getting better at design faster than Apple is getting better at cloud?
No.
I don't either.
No. I think, Google's design seems to just iterate through the same thing, and, like, they're refining it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been that same, like, all of the Google apps had that makeover a couple years ago, mm-hmm. where they went with, like, this, it started with, I think, Gmail. Like, they had the new inbox, and then everything slowly became looking like that, and they've just been refining that one look.
Right.
And I think you have to really enjoy that look if it's...
yeah, like, a lot of white space.
Yeah, a lot of white space, the...
I don't really enjoy that look. I think that it works in that card view because it's a contained space
mm-hmm.
and they design things to fit in there well. But on like Gmail, the UI, I just get lost in it. I'm used to something that has discrete panes and you see that your folders, you see your list view, and then you see the content and things have like lines between them or some sort of demarcation like Gmail used to. And now it's just kind of like there's just these wells of white space that you kind of just lose what you're looking at.
I actually like the Gmail inbox. And today, yeah. just today, because we're now using
the calendar
mm-hmm. from the Google apps, that I've decided to scrap. A couple months ago, I got rid of Sparrow. Because mm-hmm. it was bothering me, and today I've decided to just get rid of mail.app mm-hmm. and just use the browser for mm-hmm. email. So I've been looking at it all day, and I remember that I like it.
Yeah, I'm getting accustomed to it, and I think maybe. So I also downloaded it in Mailplane. Do you know that app, Mailplane? Mm-hmm. It's like kind of like a, but there's a new version out, and it has it supports the calendar too, so you can have like a. You can tab between the mail boxes and the calendar.
Nice.
And it does a really good job, partly because it kills a bunch of the Google Plus integration is an option in there. Like, basically, it makes it run so much faster because it gets rid of the stupid Google Plus and, like, the ads in the sidebar, which we don't get because we mm-hmm. pay for the apps. But, like, a lot of that stuff, it takes out. And... it integrates a bunch of OS X stuff, so it can be your default mail client, and it can integrate with Quick Look. So when you're looking at a mail, if you hit spacebar, you get the Quick Look zoom view of the attachments.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It's pretty well done, so I'm trying that out. Day 1 of 15 of the trial.
Well, do keep us posted.
I will. Yeah. So I don't know. You got anything else?
I'm now excited that... that calendar view is in there.
I had a rather full list for this little chat here.
We didn't just talk about two albums and roll out.
There's
some meat to this conversation.
Oh, and I should mention,
we crushed this.
Yes, we had a good conversate. And I should mention that we're still hiring a developer. It's been a long road, but this is the last week, so you'll probably hear this on Wednesday. So you've got like 48 hours person out there who wants to work with awesome people in what might be a really cool studio downtown on the 8th floor. We'll see.
Yes, please.
Okay. It'll be on the bus line. Well, I'll just take the bus and be happy. Maybe have a workout room or something. Okay. All right. Well, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.